afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May the 28th, 162nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor from Cutton and the rest of the 1st District, Rex Bowman. Hey, guy.
How are we doing today?
You know, we're both in the countdown for next Tuesday, so let's just kind of leave it there as a side issue, huh?
What's Survival going on next Tuesday? Fittest. Oh, that's right. There's an election.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Fish and Wildlife, the statewide commission. A lot of the state commissions we hear kind of sort of about, but we really don't. You know, the Coastal Commission, yeah, that's front and center for a lot of us because of the development or anti-development, depending on your perspective, that they support. But we don't hear about some of the others, the Forestry Department, lands, things of that nature, and Rex had a chance to sneak something through. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also the community forest is a step closer to wherever it's stepping towards. And we'll talk about that also when we come back. Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Bone, but before we do our quote this afternoon, it comes from Satchel Paige.
You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN.
Put a quote underneath it.
If you own a business, what an interesting guy.
They say he was, they never knew how old he was. They say he might have been 50, 55 years old when he pitched, you know.
Or go to JUAN790.com. 1790.
Great stories.
You earned your stripes.
Great stories, great uniforms.
And hopefully this will be a great quote.
Yes.
Ain't no man can avoid being born average. There ain't no man got to be common. Yeah, no kidding. Oh, but we all profess to be commoners, right?
We all are. Some of us are just more uncommon than others.
Yeah, there's a great quote. I don't know. I think it's Twain. I can't get full attribution. I've been looking for it for decades now. We all came from the primordial ooze. It's just some of us resemble it a little bit more than others.
Darwin was right.
Oh boy. So you did an all day or last week, huh? Down to Sacramento?
Yeah, we drove down. Drove down with Hank Seaman, our director of natural resources, deputy public director, deputy public works director. Great kid, great guy. But we went down and met in front of the conservation board that was giving the main source of funding for the McKay Tract, and Supervisor Lovelace was there. Trust for Public Lands. Our state senator, Wesley Chesbrough, stopped in and spoke in favor of it, and we were able to secure the last leg of financing to acquire the McKay Tract. So
what is that? Where does it put that project now?
We will probably close escrow on it, all the paperwork and everything else. We will probably close escrow on it at the end of July, and then we'll need to go in and do some evaluations, and we've been doing some evaluations, but clean up any hazards or anything like that, and hopefully late 2014, we can actually open it up to the public when we figure out where people are going to come in and come out. I mean,
just in time for El Nino.
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to be out there driving people out of there, because I mean, there's people out there. I mean, every night there's people out utilizing it now. And so I don't think we're going to be out there saying you can't be here. It's just, I don't think it's going to be as formal as we'd like it to be.
So the liability then transfers to the county.
Liability, the asset transfers to right. the, you know.
So with some of the different challenges you've had, well, like with the anti-camping ordinance or whatever it's now called or whatever permutation it has, is this going to be a park and qualify as a park like Big Lagoon is, like Freshwater is, like a number of the others? Will it have that immediate designation?
No, it'll be lands, but it'll be day use. The designation and stuff, it's not going to be camping out there, and we're not going to allow, we don't feel we're going to have a homeless problem out there. I know I keep hearing that, so I want to address that. We don't have one now out there, and it's not patrolled. I've brought this up before. They've got two patrollers. Green Diamond has two enforcement people for 400,000 acres, and it is very, to say there's none out
sparsely
there.
Sparsely enforced.
Yeah, but to say there's nobody out there camping in the McKay Tract, and that this is the whole 9,000 acres would be foolish of me to say that because I can't attest to that, nor can I also say that there isn't people out there because I've seen them myself out there coming in and out. So.
Are there any grows?
No.
Because I know that that was part of the press release last week was that there was some balancing for some of the grows and the damages.
I don't imagine.
Out of Wes's office.
Yeah, I don't imagine we have. One of the things that we have is it's got a pretty thick canopy with the trees, so you don't have the open. And the other thing is we don't have a lot of great, hot, long-growing sunshine like southern Humboldt and some of these outlying areas that get the optimum, you know, that's needed to grow a great, great, plant, I guess.
We do well in Fern.
We do well in Fern Canyon, yes.
So is there another piece of property that the county owns that is similar to what this is as far as public access?
No, we've got 600 between
Clam Beach?
Between Big Lagoon, maybe Clam Beach, but Big Lagoon or Clam Beach, our whole park system is only 600 and some odd acres. Now we've just added 1,007 acres to it. So, and as I stated, the trepidation we face going into this, our 50-year analysis says we'll make money, but who knows where redwood prices are going to go. They may skyrocket, they may drop, they may skyrocket, but that, the lumber market's cyclical and everything else. I think I just said something to the effect, we're nervous about doing this, but I would be much more nervous if we didn't do it. It would not be fair to our community because this is such a gem, and it borders that growth area of 6,000 peoples of cut and Ridgewood, so it allows it doesn't stymie the growth. It just gives them some recreation to go with that growth that the Cutton's enveloped over the last 30 years.
Is there any opportunity, Rex, to be able to use a part of that landmass for a bypass, not highway bypass, but a bypass for Eureka to get access?
We actually redrew the lines with Trust for Public Lands because the access to come off of Walnut and then come out on Harris over by Redwood Acres would have had to go through it, and it would have been a logistical, legal nightmare to do that later on down the line. So we actually redrew the lines of the acquisition and kept an access for future to come out somewhere by Redwood Acres.
So there's like an easement.
Yeah, there's no easement as of yet, but there is. It still have to be acquired, but it'll be a lot easier to do than doing it on a piece of property that has been bought by a conservation group and given to the county.
Yeah, I kind of thought that would be kind of ugly. What about a break? Then we'll follow up. KINS News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours, or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Access, egress, whatever you want to call it, into that property. Right now, the Harris in the Eureka area is kind of halfway tough. I mean, it's an old logging road. Okay, it's steep. Doesn't have sidewalks. It's some of those ADA. Yeah, right. The investment that's going to be needed in the infrastructure for this area, this park, how much has the county set aside for that?
Well, we were fortunate because one of the things, I don't want to take full credit for, but one of the things I had my heels in the sand was dealing with Trust for Public Lands was they ended up giving us back, they gave us a check for $125,000 for design, for us to go in there and get some things cleaned up that we wanted. You have to remember, this has historically been logged over, three, four times. I mean, so there is a abundant amount of skid trails.
Are you going to call it the Rodoni Community Forest?
Do you know, when you go down to the, we go down to, that's, I don't know if we'll do that, but there's a house down there that Bill Wines lives in, and it's the old the ranch. It's the one I grew up. I told the story down there that when I was 8 or 9 years old, we were down there fishing and in Ryan Creek because I lived in Myrtletown there. This has been 50 plus years ago, and we come out and our bikes were gone, and Jim Rodoni pulled up and our bikes were in the back of his truck. And I go, hey, those are our bikes. He goes, those are my fish. So you'll see where Roger gets it. I loved it when Johanna told me the story and Roger tell the story. I go, hey, I was the kid with the bike, you guys. I just, you know. But, I mean, those were great times as a kid. And my greatest memories are running around and back of Redwood Acres and through the McKay and with our bikes and everything. And I think that the idea that other future generations are going to be able to hike down there, down to Ryan Creek, it's a great coho bearing stream. I'm sounding like a fish guy. But it is. It's got some great assets to it. They've been doing some great restoration back there and cleanup for the sediment. Runoff, and I've been taking my dogs out there quite a bit here recently, and as somebody that's grown up in this, it's not as awe-inspiring that's just grown up in the woods, but when you get out there and start looking at some of these trees, and there are some big trees still back there, and you walk down a road and you come across one of these big stumps and they've got the springboard cutouts still in them, and you realize there was a guy standing up there cutting that tree down 80 years ago, and you realize, and there's saps coming off it, and you're going, we are pretty fortunate that we can walk out of our house, walk down the street, and walk into something like that. You know, we don't have a concrete jungle or anything like that, and I, like I always said, I don't think we ever will. I think we're always going to be Humboldt County up here.
So the road accesses, is it going to be paved, asphalted, that kind of?
No.
Is it going to be crushed rock?
You'll take a look at the Arcata Forest. They build trails up there. I think they put some matting down. I'm not too sure. I haven't been up to there. But I know there are trails that are more accessible for some people that need the accessibility issues and stuff like that. I mean, obviously you can't do that with all of them because it's cost prohibitive, but I don't think anybody should be denied the opportunity to at least be able to enjoy some of this. And as we go along, and the best thing about this, I'm not a real big fan of, you know, taking public, you know, private property and putting into public, but this is going to stay a working forest. We're going to be able to, you know, sustainably log it and pay our bills as we move along with it. So I think I keep saying it's a win-win, and I certainly hope I'm wrong, I hope I'm right and everybody else is wrong saying that it's not everybody, because the overwhelming support for this has been amazing. But I know I've got a lot of people, there are a few people out there going, you being one of them.
We're watching.
Saying, Are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm going, you know, I can't say I'm sure, but I sure feel good about it.
That's, for now, that's probably about as far along as anybody can hope for. With the amount of activity that is anticipated, obviously there's going to be parking lots, and things of or parking areas designated, that kind of stuff. Is that part of what is being allowed easily this entire process?
Yeah, we'll put in some trailheads and small. I firmly believe, like I said, I'm 2 or 3 blocks away from it, and I walk down there, and most of the people I run into down there tend to walk down there, and then we're hopefully going to be able to use Redwood Fields as a trailhead, so there's a parking lot there. We're working, Cindy.
I'm thinking more of the Hubbard Harris end.
Been talking a lot with Redwood Acres because it borders Redwood Acres. And that's going to be a great place for the equestrian and the walkers to, and you know, the little trailhead there, like you said, there is room down below there for parking. If you drive down that road, sometimes you'll see 4 or 6 cars because there's these groups that run and walk right there on Harris Street, much by Hubbard and stuff like that. I don't think we're going to get 1,000 people out there. You know, I think it's going to be people walking. We always talk about
Headwaters,
you know. Huh?
Headwaters doesn't. It costs a lot more money for that.
Headwaters, we've got all that, and you go down there, and there'll be 6 or 8 cars, 10 cars on a great day, and that's a great walk, by the way. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful walk. but they don't have a lot of, you know, so I don't see, and they've got one ingress egress unless you're coming from the Fortuna side. So I don't see a big issue with that. It's just getting it cleaned up and the hazards. And there is, you know, Green Diamond has offered to work with us on the trash. So that is out there.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bohm. Rex, in addition to the testimony and helping out with the trust for the, is it a community park, community forest? What is it being called? What's the working title?
McKay
now?
Community Forest.
Okay. I just make that adjustment here in my notes. You had not. One of the things I think is really curious, and I'll just say curious, is we always feel like we're at the tip of the tail on the dog when it comes to anything. You know, the Coastal Commission, you know, how many times have we gone round and round and round and round? 21-person board, we've got one person representing our three coastal counties.
And you have to understand, Humboldt County,
what is
has
wrong?
More, Humboldt County has more coastline than any other county in the state.
Yeah, and we have one rep that we share with Del Norte and Mendocino.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
screwy is that compared yeah. to, you know, some others? Okay, we Stan Dixon still on the State Board of Forestry.
I think, didn't he? No, he just retired.
Did he just step off?
And I think, is Gary still on there or not? We've had pretty, one thing about the forestry, we've had pretty good representation, but you have to understand for the last 50 years, Humboldt County's been the number one lumber producing county in the, in California.
How sad is that considering the last 15 years and where everybody else is? There are state parks commissions.
Yeah.
Okay. We talk about salvage harvesting out of the woods. Yeah, what a sad joke that is anymore. A lot of these state and federal regulatory entities are on top of us. And I think that's how it feels. They're on top of us. They're not helping us. They're not assisting us. They're not guiding us. They're squashing us. And yet you had an opportunity to get somebody from here on one of these state commissions that I guess maybe a breath of hope that something it's might a, turn?
The Fish and Wildlife Commission. It's a big deal. And Jackie Hostler-Carmison, who's lived here forever and is actually, I think, the general manager up at Sherry Heights and serves on numerous traffic commissions, both through the tribes and without being in the tribes. Very, very eloquent, very knowledgeable. Applied for the Fish and Wildlife Commission, was appointed a year ago, and her finished out, I think, the term, and her reaffirmation hearing was 2 weeks ago, I believe, and I drove down to Sacramento, got up early, we drove down to Sacramento, and got to speak in front of the Senate committee on the appointments, and she was unanimously approved. There was, I think there was from Smith River. There was tribal representatives. There was quite a few representatives. Our state senator Wesley Chesbro showed up and spoke on her behalf. It's a big deal. I think she's the only woman on there, but it's been. I don't know when the last time we had somebody from the North Coast on it. It goes to the populated areas where the votes are, where everything is. But we got all the game. I mean, we've got a lot of the game. We've got the rivers. We've got a lot of the decisions the Fish and Wildlife Commission make. They affect quite a bit of our tourist dollar, our local people who fish and hunt and spend time in the woods, their recreation dollars. So it's great to have somebody close that you can turn to, talk to, and actually be recognized up here on the North Coast.
Has there ever been a thought, now I know the way that the county is structured, counties are structured, might be a little unique, of taking the land mass of California and dividing it up by the board? whatever the board is.
Sounds like state of Jefferson, but I'm done.
You know, if it's a five-person board, okay.
Yeah.
We take the land mass of California and cut it into fifths. If it's 20, we cut it into 20s. Whatever it might happen to be. Not based on population, because then these areas that are impacted get X'd out. You know, if it was something about the deserts, well, by definition, nobody's living in the desert.
Yeah.
You'd never have anybody representing those folks, and yet it does impact those areas and potential areas, and they have zero voice.
Oh, it's like I've talked before about we now belong to RCRC, the Rural Counties Representing Group, and they represent 34 counties, which account for 53% of the land mass, 9% of the population. And so when you start thinking about that, but so much of our land use decisions, water,
made out of the middle of
gravel, are made out of LA, so many of those decisions are made by, you know, it's kind of like the no dogs for the bear hunting. I mean, was made by I think it was Lou, who has never had a bear sighting in his county, I guess. And that's what I was. That was one of the lords, but I'm sure does not have a bear problem. But with you know, you talk to somebody who's
only
trash can.
Only if Berkeley's having a good year.
Whose trash can gets knocked down every night in Cutting, you know, or something like that. You start thinking, there are a lot of bears. Yeah. So, you know. But, I mean,
you haven't been lit up on embezzlement charges, have you?
No. So, but, I mean, there are some real issues that affect us and our land use that get decided for us by people that have no idea what we're doing up here. Well, and we're doing it pretty good.
It's interesting for me, and I forget who had shared. I think I have a couple of good ideas, but that some of the kids in the LA Unified go on a field trip to a farm and have never seen a cow before, which is really mind-numbing for a lot of us. Cows are around, no big deal, right? But that is a milestone event for a little guy growing up in the middle of the city. And yet, as you said, these folks are making those decisions that are impacting agricultural use throughout the state, and they have no connection to it other than it's the grocery store.
Well, I think it's called the Trees Foundation. It's through the Redwood Region Logging Conference, who sponsors it, but they make a donation to them. Redwood Region Logging Conference started it through their education program. They used to bring groups of teachers up here for a week from Los Angeles. You know, bring 30 or 40, and they would, Green Diamond would host them in the forest all day. They'd show them logging.
Yeah,
they would show them everything, and it's morphed into a couple different groups. But Catherine Queen and a lot of those gals would put this whole thing together. Jackie DeShea.
Zemer. It's been a couple years.
Well, it's Zemer, but she's still, yeah. Sorry, Glenn. But they put this whole thing together, and these teachers come up here, and he said, "Well, they'd just be amazed, going, well, that's not the way that's not what I've heard," and they'd realize that we have a lot of these things. They grow pretty quick, and our logging practices have so much improved to protect the environment that now we grow twice as much as we cut, and part of that's got to do with the economy, I imagine, but I mean. I mean, it's just we're doing everything so much better, and they don't realize that. And if you want to see problems, shut us down completely, and then you're going to start seeing some problems, you know.
Well, yeah. We're almost there, though, man.
I know we are. Someday. You'd be surprised.
Do you have any influence on the salvage harvesting out of Six Rivers?
No.
The county doesn't?
No, county doesn't have. But I mean, we can ask and stuff like that. The nice thing about it is Tyrone is now retired. And we'll get whoever's leading, who comes in to run the Six Rivers, they actually have a lot of say on how their forests are run, because obviously you get to the Midwest and stuff like that, and Alabama and stuff, and they log pretty heavy on their national forests.
Well,
and
if it's down anyway,
open, you know, and so they do a pretty good job with it. So they get to manage it, you know, spot manage it and stuff like that. So we're looking. Hopefully, we'll be able to. I mean, you take a look.
Get a forester in.
Take a look at all these mills that, you know, that had shut down because they were getting 30, 40, 50% of their lumber from the National Forest for years, and then it stopped. And it's created an issue with forest fires, too. You know, and it's not just climate change. You leave all that much. You leave that much fuel on the ground. You leave that much fuel canopy so close to you, you run into these problems.
Dead trees burn. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you take a look at some of the different things that are out there, you know, you get beat up about this, beat up about that, and you're not even running this time. You know, people still take shots about this and that. Every once in a while, you get an opportunity to kind of have a little bit of fun. And I know last Friday you had a little bit of fun. What was that all about?
Well, I got to go to South Bay School to they're kicking off their lemonade day, and I'm the ambassador this year for Lemonade Day. Susie Seaman from the Arcata Economic Development Corporation over there, they've been sponsoring it this the last few years. I got to ride in the roadie parade and the Lemonade Day float, and it was a lot of fun. I was the only person on the Lemonade Day float, so.
Keeping everybody away from the lemonade,
stay away from the lemonade. But June 7th is Lemonade Day, and this was started, I believe, in Texas by a computer guy that sold his company, and his daughter wanted to have a lemonade stand. And he says, you want to learn about business, too? I'm not going to go buy $40 worth of stuff, have you sell $20 worth of lemonade and call it successful. He says, what we're going to do is you're going to do this right, and you're going to get a budget, you're going to do this, And I think we had 84 stands last year. I think they donated $2,400 back to local nonprofits. They kept a little money for themselves, and they put a little bit of money in the bank, and they paid their parents back for the ingredients needed to make lemonade. And you'll notice there's a great stand in Henderson's. There's stands everywhere, and there's a web page. We're going to do some advertising and tell you where all the lemonade stands are. But these are kids that are going out there. There are future Humboldt-made entrepreneurs that are going out there and doing something, and with the help of their parents, and they're learning a little bit about business. They're going to see the cost, what it costs to do business. They're going to learn about doing a little philanthropy.
So you're going to have the regulators come in and tag them for 5%?
Oh, we're going to check them for
sales
permits.
Tax,
we're going to check them. Okay. The health department's going to go out and make sure they have hand washing sinks and everything. You know, we've got that all now.
ADA,
yeah,
accessibility. Yeah. Okay.
It's these kids get so innovative. I've noticed some now they've got lemon bars. They got lemon. It's a great thing. And again, Arcata Economic Development Corporation sponsors this and does and handles some of the advertising. Mercer Fraser's a sponsor this year. Jack Rickey's at Schaefer's, both Willow Creek and Henderson Center Fortuna, and Redwood Fields is a sponsor this year. And I ask you, stop by, have a glass of lemonade on June 7th. Leave a tip, because these kids are learning what life is really about.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.